we'd hear God's word. You know, and I think today, very simply, let's just celebrate the goodness in our life. Because that goodness comes from one source, from God. So let's kick this off right. Let's all stand and go to prayer. Heavenly Father, awaken us to your word today, the good news. Allow it to penetrate deep into our hearts. Let it take root and grow. Father, help us put aside every distraction and turn away from anything that hinders our participation in your kingdom. Lord, guide us so we can be a part of your momentum and be faithful to your purpose that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we turn this service over to you. Holy Spirit, come into this building, settle into the hearts of each one of us. And it's in the precious name of Jesus that we all pray. And everyone says, amen. Okay, we're a couple people short up here today, but, you know, it's not about how many instruments are up here. It's about the voices in your heart. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit loves the voice of everybody in here. Here we go. Make a joyful noise.
Well, I've been held by the Savior. And I've felt fire from above. And I've been down to the river. Ain't the same a prodigal return. And all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God yesterday's gone. Now forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Now I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. Going back, I'll never be the same. Oh, that's why I sing it. All my hope is in Jesus. Well, thank God my yesterday's gone. And all my sins are forgiven. Now, been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing just breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. And God been broken more than a time or two, yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing, yeah. All my hope is in Jesus. Well, thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. Yeah, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by the blood. You know, that song kind of rings true to me a little bit. Even up until this morning, a little bit. we won't go into details. But, I struggle a lot with, like, that fence thing, you know, and some of my old past, old friends, things like that. I've kind of distanced myself from the majority of them, you know, the ones that I, you know, just aren't really leading me the right way, I guess to say. You know, but that song really sticks out. I mean, he's gonna protect us regardless of the past and the history. And I know 100% I'm a work in progress. So, that song, it kind of hit home, you know, this morning a little bit for me. But same with this one here. Just talk to him. God made the winters and the summer. One who put the stars all in the place. Only one who stands above all other. He knows me by name. Angels hide their faces in his presence. Demons run for cover when you speak. You rule the world and reign above the heavens. Still draw close to me. When I close my I know that I'm not just open, I'm not just wishing, I know I'm praying to a God who listens. I know he hears me, I know he's living, yes I am praying to a God who listens. Who never will fail me? Who tells just hoping, I'm not just wishing. Yes, I am praying to a God who listens. Oh, what a promise that we've been given. Yes, we are praying to a God who listens.
All right, y'all ready to pick it up a little bit? Clapping is encouraged. Not just allowed, but encouraged.
Everybody get in back of the van. Down by the river there's an old church band, singing a song and clapping along. We're all gonna see a revival. Old muddy water gonna wash your sins. Tell everybody to bring their friends. Hold on tight, it might last all night. Gonna see a revival. When that choir starts singing and the chorus rises, that old preacher preaches, says, Big Ten Revival. Whoa, the Big Ten Revival. Yeah. Holy Ghost power gonna set you free. It don't matter if it takes a week. Fire from heaven falling down like rain. Ain't nobody here walking out the same. Seas and wonders, trumpet sounds. We're riding out on a glory cloud. Get out your feet, on your feet. We're all having a revival when that choir starts singing and the chorus rises. That old preacher preaches, setting souls on fire. All day through the night, we're gonna get back to the Bible. Anybody lost, wanna get saved, get found. Come down, Big Ten Revival. Yo, come on down to the Big Ten, yeah, Big Ten Revival. Everybody get in back of the van. Down by the river there's an old church band, singing a song and clapping along. We're all gonna see a revival when that choir starts singing and the chorus rises. That old preacher preaches, setting souls on fire. All day through the night, we're gonna get back to the Bible. Anybody lost, wanna get saved, get found. Come down, Big Ten Revival.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Big Ten Revival. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a better clap offering than that. Hallelujah. Well, before you're seated, let's get out of our chairs and welcome two or three people. Tell them you're glad they're here today.
All around us, there are troubles, and there are trials round every turn. And though that cold wind won't stop blowing, there's a fire in my bones, and it keeps me going, keeps trumpet sounds and the bells are ringing till he calls me home, no, I won't stop singing. For every question, there's an answer. For every problem, there's a prayer. But greater is he that lives within me than all the trouble here in this world. The joy of the
this song
is
get buzzed, can't you?
Okay, my song, that sweet melody in my soul all day long. No matter what comes, I just keep going on. Cause the joy of the Lord is my strength and my song. Till the trumpet sounds and the bells are ringing, till he calls me home, no, I won't stop singing. I've got that joy down in my soul. I've got that joy.
Well, praise the Lord.
Joy. Got that joy down in...
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be here this morning. Are you happy to be here this morning? Oh, yeah. Last one of your chairs is going to pray us out of here today.
That's me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to welcome everyone this morning to Hill Country Cowboy Church. We are a group of folks who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think we even have a few cowboys in here. I'm not sure. I used to be a cowboy, but I ain't set a horse or bull or anything else in probably 45 years. So I tell people like this, I'm a drugstore cowboy. After being stupid for that many years trying to be a cowboy, I had to spend a lot of time at the drugstore getting pain medications. Hallelujah. But anyway, we want to welcome you here this morning. Praise God. We want to give a special welcome to any of our first-time visitors. If this is your first time at Hill Country Cowboy Church, if you would, just hold your hand up just for a short moment. We're going to put a card in it. Amen. Amen. Welcome John back here. Amen. He's got a great name too. Praise God. Now, y'all been here before, right? Yeah, I call people out here. So glad to see you again. Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, we put our discipline, our people we put on have to put on discipline on the front row. Amen. They're in timeout. Hallelujah. No, they're not. Praise God. Anyway, hallelujah. Let me move forward. We're going to take care of a little church business. We do teach tithing because the Bible teaches it. So if you need a tithing offering envelope, if you would, raise your hand. These young men will put one in it. I will tell our visitor that do not pay your tithes here if this is not your home church. The Bible is very clear in Malachi, says take your tithes to your storehouse. That's the place where you get your spiritual food all the time. Amen? Amen. Gentlemen, come back one more time. We're going to go ahead and pass out some prayer request cards. If you have a need in your life or you know someone else who has a need in their life and you'd like to put that on paper and I pray for those or I speak God's word over them, when they hit my desk, but also on Wednesday nights, we pray over those corporately because we believe in miracles. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
All right, just wanted to see if he's paying attention. So if you need a prayer request card, raise your hand real quickly. The gentleman will put one in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. How many of you know that? Luke 6:38. You don't have to turn there. Most of you know it. It says, give and you'll be given unto. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, that word use there means you give. With the same measure that you give, it will be measured back to you. God loves a cheerful giver. How many of you know that? Amen. Well, let's stand up and smile at God and give our offering to the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. If you have a monetary offering, we'll fill that up. I left it at home. Oh. By faith. Amen. Amen. I'm just a tad rushed this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hold your offering in your hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. And Father, we bring our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings into your storehouse, knowing that you will multiply them to the spreading of your gospel. That's the only thing that's important, especially in these last days, that we do what the word tells us to get people saved and get them ready for heaven. Father God, we give you praise and glory for that. I ask you, that, Father God, that you multiply the offerings back to the households of the givers, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you're not already. I know we had the announcements looping on the board, so I hope everybody got the announcements. Yeah, Miss Brenda, do you have any special announcements you want to make? Okay. Amen. Well, kids, are we ready for church? Let's go back there and meet Miss Yvette back there. Praise God. Oh, and Miss Miranda's helping out today. Hi, Miranda. Amen. She's already teaching the kids this morning. She taught them not to open candy in the sanctuary. Because I called her down. Hallelujah. Go ahead, brother. Run, Sawyer. Come on, buddy. Man, I'm going to get my hair to wear the comb like that. That'll be by faith, right? Amen. Let's stretch a hand out toward them. Father God, we thank you for each and every child that's in this church, Father God, and those you're going to be sending to this church. Father God, we thank you that they're being taught the word of God, that they are allowed to have a great time back there. But the greatest time we could ever have, Lord, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You have anything? All right. Hallelujah. Y'all ready for some word? It's amazing that song that they sang. I know it, yeah. That's the way I used to be too, amen, when Brenda drugged me to church. Hallelujah, now I come on my own, praise God. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Yeah, she got tired of dragging me around, so she asked God to help me, and he did. I was saying, it's amazing that song y'all sang this morning about revival, because the title of my message this morning, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, is Experiencing True Revival. Experiencing True Revival. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, if our visitors don't have a Bible, raise your hand, we'll get you one. Anybody need a Bible? Praise the Lord. Everybody got a Bible? Because, hey, it's not what the preacher says out of the pulpit. It's what's in the book. Now, you just happen to have a preacher that preaches out of the book. I'm not going to preach to you out of my head. Amen. Because he definitely gets some wrong leading there. Amen. But we're going to learn today about what true revival really is. I'll be turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And really, over the last several months, many of us have been, experiencing a great awakening to God's word and to his presence in our lives. How many of you have had a great awakening in your life these last few months? Amen. See, God wants all of us to experience the fullness of his presence, because it's when we're in his presence that we can be supernaturally changed. See, Christianity is not about a religion. It's about you having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about you living in his presence. regardless of what else you may have going on in your life right now, there is nothing greater or more important to your life than staying in God's presence. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, you don't have to turn there. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So when you and I get into God's presence, we can know God's plan for our life. When you and I get into God's presence, we can know God's direction for our life. We can walk in God's peace. We can walk in God's joy. All of that is in his presence. In other words, there is a fullness that we can experience in God's presence. And it's an experience that every Christian or every born-again child of God can know and experience. But listen to me. It's up to each of us. It's up to you to experience God's presence in your life. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. It's up to you to actively pursue God. See, you can't just have a mediocre religion or religious experience with God. It can't be mediocre. It's got to be all in. See, everything God does is all in. He gives you his all. Amen. He gave you the greatest sacrifice that ever could be sacrificed. He gave you his son. So that anybody that can believe in him can live in his presence all the time. Amen. We can walk in God's peace. We can walk in God's joy. Now, for you and I to really pursue after God, we must first become aware. Listen to what your pastor's fixing to tell you. You must become aware of your spiritual condition. In other words, how hungry are you really for the things of God? How hungry are you for God's word? How hungry are you for God's ways of life? We have to ask ourselves these questions. You see, to actively pursue the things of God, I'll speak of me personally, I had to first analyze my own life. And I had to see where I was I had to see where I was to get a picture of where God wanted to take me. See, I had to realize back in 1997 that I wasn't right. And I thought I knew God, but I wasn't right. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, so let's just back up here. My eyes had to be opened to where God wanted to take me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 34, he says, to awaken to righteousness. Awaken to the way God wants you to live. For the child of God to actively pursue the things of God, there has to be an awakening. And that's what we talked to, just how it happened. That's what you started singing this morning. There had to be an awakening in the lives of people. There has to be a revival that takes place in your spiritual life. I want to speak to you for the next few moments about experiencing true revival. How to experience true revival in your life. See, true revival is a great awakening of your spiritual condition. That's what true revival is all about. It's an awakening to your spiritual condition. It's you realizing that you're not where you need to be with God. Then, because you do realize you're not where you need to be, you repent. Everybody say repent. You repent and turn back towards God. You turn and start doing the things that God wants you to do more. Amen? Amen. So let's begin here in Acts chapter 3. And I want to show you what true revival really looks like. See, the Bible has so much to say about true revival. Look at this in verse 19. What's the first word there? Repent. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, it says repent. The word repent does not mean, God, I'm sorry. Right. See, just being sorry means you're probably going to do it again. The word repent in the Greek means that you recognize that you're wrong. Repent in the Greek means that you recognize where you're wrong, that you recognize that you've missed it, that there are things in your life that you need to change. See, maybe it's places you're going. Maybe it's people you're hanging out with. Maybe it's things you've done, but now you know they're not pleasing in God's sight. That hit me in the right between the eyes. See, when I first got born again and revival happened in my life, I started realizing that I wasn't very pleasing to God. In other words, there was a great awakening. And there will be a great awakening to your spiritual condition. So much so, listen to me, that it will cause you to repent. Which means you change the way you think. And you change the direction that you're headed. It's like walking one way and then all of a sudden a roadblock just jumps up in front of you and you have to say, wait a minute, I can't go that way anymore, so I got to turn and go this way. That's what repentance is, that you're going in a different direction. Amen. It's not, Lord, I'm sorry I got caught. Lord, I'm sorry I keep doing all these things that's not pleasing in your sight. Lord, I'm sorry for this. Lord, I'm sorry for that. But then you just keep going down the same old road. How many know that that is not true repentance? Look at what he says here. He's saying, repent and therefore be what? Converted. I'll be dog. The word converted up in this text means to be morally changed in your direction that you're going. To be morally changed in your direction. So he's telling us to make sure that our lives are morally right. He's telling us to make sure that our moral compass is set to where it lines up with God's word. He's telling us to make sure that we're not participating in any behaviors we think only we know about. But in reality, God knows everything. Amen. He said there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. He knows everything we're doing. Notice he says, repent, therefore, and be converted of moral misconduct. Now watch this, that your sins may be blotted out. See, if you're not repenting and you're not being converted, then how many of you know, according to this scriptures, your sins are not being blotted out? He says, repent that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing, hallelujah, may come from the presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing that can compare to the refreshing we will receive or we do receive from being in God's presence. Actually, the word refreshing here in the Greek means revival. It means to be revived. It means revival is happening in your life. So he's saying, repent. Change your direction. Change your moral compass. How many of you know these are all choices that each of us have to make? I can't make them for Miss Brenda. She can't make them for me. I can't make them for you as your pastor. You have to make decisions in your life. You have to make the choices. He says, stop living outside of God's word and be converted. So then times of refreshing can come. Or times of revival will happen in your life. Can you say amen? What I'm wanting you to understand this morning is that spiritual revival comes from being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to tell you. Revival is not a place we go. A revival is not a tent set up in an open field and we advertise that we're having a revival tonight. I'm not making fun of that. Because revival can happen in those locations. Okay, but that's not revival. Revival is not emotionalism. Even though your emotions can get stirred up when you get revived. Can I get an amen to that? Revival is not a concert of worship, although that can happen in the midst of revival. But that's not what revival is. I mean, we didn't just read the first mark of revival is repentance for nothing. See, the first mark of revival in your life is not a song. It's not you worshiping God. It's you repenting. Amen. Listen, when true revival touches your life, and I'm not talking about what you're seeing on YouTube or other media outlets, and I'm not making light of that. Listen to me. Anything that Jesus is in the midst of, I'm all for it. Amen. I'm all for people getting help. Amen. But what I'm talking about this morning is the revival that's already on the inside of you. That all you have to do is let him out. Amen. Hallelujah. See, it's all about you and me this morning. Turn your neighbor and say, it's all about you. See, because revival starts on the inside of man. It don't come from outward, inward. It comes from inward, outward. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. It's all about you and me because revival starts with us. See, revival in my life started with me. And I can walk in revival every single day. I can walk in the presence of God and experience his refreshing every single day of my life. Revival isn't something that comes and goes in the life of a Christian. It's not just an emotional experience that you can experience by going to a tent revival or a revival wherever they are being taken place. See, that ends when the crowd goes home. Are you hearing me? That kind of revival experience ends when the music stops. It ends when the crowd goes home. True revival is something we should be walking in continually. Are you with me? And again, let me emphasize, at least someone in here or watching my live stream this morning misunderstands me. Revival can take place anywhere and anytime. And it can be an emotional experience. But when true revival takes place in your life, my brothers and sisters, it will change you. Hallelujah. Praise God. When true revival takes place, God's presence becomes real. Through the Holy Spirit, what he does is he begins showing you those areas of your life that you need to change. See, he has so much more for us. But he says you have to clean house. Amen. And then when we start cleaning house and we get our house cleaned out, that's called being born again. Then we start filling it up with the word of God. That's where revival comes. Hallelujah. There's a great awakening that happens on the inside of you that makes you cry out to God Almighty and say, Father God, I repent. I repent of my sin. I repent of my drifting away from you. I repent of going my own way. It's not, and I'm not just saying I'm sorry, Lord, but I truly repent. And right now, I'm turning and going the other direction. That's what true revival really is. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the places I go. I'm going to change my associations. I'm going to change everything in my life that is not pleasing in your sight. I'm going to pursue after you, Father God, with all of my heart and all of my being. Can you say amen? Amen. See, revival causes you and I to make changes in our life. Revival in you and I causes us to get the sin out of our life. Revival causes us to look inwardly at ourselves. Revival causes us to look at our attitude towards other people. True revival causes us to look at why we continue to get frustrated and angry so easily, and why we lash out at other people, and why we, it reveals why we can just be mean at times. Anybody other than me just been mean to people? I'm the only one, two of us, praise God. That's what revival does. Revival causes us to look on the inside of us at why we're so critical in judgment of those around us, when we should be being kind and more considerate of others. You see, revival isn't just meant to deal with what we think are major sins. Revival is meant to deal with all sin. Revival is meant to cause you and I to look inwardly and say, Father God, help me with my attitude. Father God, help me to quit being so critical and judgmental of others. Father God, help me to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Help me to live peaceably with all people. Father God, I recognize my frustration comes from my wrong thinking, and I repent of that, which means I'm going to work diligently on my mindset. We have to work on our mindset, amen? In other words, I'm going to stop thinking and doing whatever it is that gets me in that place where I really don't want to be. See, I don't like being ugly. How many of you in here just love being ugly to other people? None of us do, but sometimes we are. You know who suffers the most when we go there? We do. We do. So revival is meant for us to change, the things in our lives that puts us in that place where Satan wants us to be, but God don't want us to be. To live peaceably with all people. See, it's more than just saying, I'm sorry, and I'll try to be nicer. You can't just try to be nicer, my brother and sister. You got to renew your mind to God's word to be nicer. You got to stop thinking the way you do. You got to change the way you're thinking. You got to renew your mind to the word of God. Are you with me? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And spiritual fruit, listen to me, only manifest through revival. Amen. It's not an outward thing that comes on you. It's an inward thing that comes out of you. Amen. Brother and sister, revival causes you to get real with yourself. It causes you to look inwardly for the answers to your problems. And you know why? Because every revival begins with what? Everybody say repentance. Every revival that's ever happened was from a repentive heart. Amen. It don't just come on you. You cause it by the way you live. Amen. It's people becoming aware of their spiritual condition. It's not just your spouse's spiritual condition that you look at. It's not your mom and dad's spiritual condition. It's not your best friend's spiritual condition. No, right now, this is all about you. So what's your spiritual condition this morning? Do you need a true revival in your life? Are you going to chase after revival somewhere? Are you going to start letting God's word bring revival into your life? Amen. You and God are the only ones that can answer those questions. Now, let's take the next few moments to look at revival from a biblical standpoint. Look at this in 2 Kings. 2 Kings. You are going to leave here a new person. You're going to quit looking outwardly for revival to come. And you are going to start letting God's word bring revival through you. Because even though it's about you this morning, When you walk through those doors, you need to take revival out there to that world. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I got to find my place where I'm at. All right, here we go. Y'all ready? 2 Kings. And, of course, this is a story. Well, let me back up. Spiritual revival is you becoming aware of your spiritual condition. Amen? Hallelujah. And again, don't get me wrong. You can go to a revival meeting like we're seeing on the internet, and I'm not against that. But you don't have to go to one of those meetings when the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. Amen. And I realize people are experiencing manifestations of the Spirit at these meetings. But at the same time, if there's not true repentance and the Holy Spirit doesn't produce in those folks a change of heart, then when the praise and worship is over, when all the fanfare is over, when all the lights and the smoke and everything else is over, and they walk out into that world out there and they don't have any foundation, then their lives aren't going to be changed. And they'll be looking for the next revival to go to for a temporary fix. It's almost like a junkie getting a temporary fix instead of letting the great physician make a fix in you. Chasing revivals. You want to go to one of them? Go. Pastor, did you ever do that? Absolutely. I sure did. Her and I both. We would hear such and such is going on over here, and we'd run to that meeting. You know why? Because we didn't know any better. I didn't have a man of God preaching to me like I'm preaching to you this morning. I didn't have a man of God in my life telling me that revival comes from the inside of you, John. You don't have to go looking for it. Amen. So, yeah, we chased those. But you know what we got when we left the meeting? Nothing. We remained the same. It wasn't until I got into the Word of God and I started doing what the Word of God told me to do to renew my mind, to give my body and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, start renewing my mind to the Word of God, then revival started coming. Yes, hallelujah. But yeah, I chased it. If you're chasing it, hey, you're going to probably end up the same way I did. You're going to get a temporary fix. Hopefully that don't happen to you. But I can tell you what, those kind of revivals there, they're temporary. This is a revival right here that will last you a lifetime if you'll do it. Hallelujah. That's my preaching for the day. See, without an emotional experience, without obvious changes in your life, that is not revival. Amen? So let's look at this in 2 Kings. And of course, this is the story of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And the Bible says he was a good king. And what I want you to see this morning is, first off, true revival causes you to be aware of God's presence in your life. And then when God starts putting his finger on the different things in your life, then what you do is you begin to separate yourself from those things. Can I get an amen? So let's begin here reading in verse number 1. And I'll read down through verse number 7. It says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. So what I want you to see is Hezekiah has now become king. And here's what's important. Verse number 4. Here's what he did after he became king. How many of you men are king of your households? All right, I just put you on the spot. This is what he did after he became king. He said, it says in verse 4, he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel had burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. In other words, they were worshiping false idols. So notice that Hezekiah has now become king, and he starts breaking things up. He starts tearing down the false idols. He starts removing those things from his household, the house of Judah, that are wrong in the sight of God. In other words, he begins getting rid of stuff. A lot of us need to get rid of some stuff. And this is what is so important about true revival. It's about God dealing with us personally, exposing the things in our life that we need to get rid of, things that are idols in our life, things that are seemingly more important than God is in our life, things we're giving ourselves over to, things we're participating in, things that get more of our time than God does. And what Hezekiah is showing us this morning is that we not only need to be removing certain things from our life, but we also need to be moving closer to God. Can you say amen? Look at this in verse 5. It says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were who were before him. Now watch this. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments. Kept the commandments which the Lord God had commanded Moses. Look at verse 7. And the Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. Now everybody likes that part, right? Look at this. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. So really, what takes place in true revival, and Hezekiah was a great example of this, is that we become aware of our spiritual condition. We become aware of those things around us. We become aware of the things in our life that we know are wrong. And we on our own. Everybody say, me on my own. And we on our own start to separate ourselves from all of these things. Things we used to do, we no longer want to do them. Places we used to go and lifestyles we used to embrace are no longer important to us. Why? Because that's what true revival does. It changes our way of living. So when true revival hits your life, my brothers and sisters, you will make the necessary changes. And if you're not changing in your life, then you're not revived yet. Listen, the day I got born again, not the day I went to church. I went to church from 84 to 90. And nothing happened. I chased revival. I chased an experience. 1997, so then I backslid. Got nothing out of it. Amen, except the word knowledge. I did get word knowledge because I've always loved to read the Bible. But in 1997, I got born again. Hallelujah. And I started doing what Hezekiah did. I started breaking things down in my life. I started becoming the man of God that God wanted me to be. I took things out of my life. I took things out of my home. I told my bride, who at first, and that's her testimony, I let her give it, but she didn't really want to go with me. But I said, I'm going. I can't stop it. Revival has started. And I couldn't hold it back. I said, I'm going on with God. And of course, it didn't take long for her to realize that this man's going. I better get on board or I'm going to be left behind. I wasn't going to leave her physically. I love her. Been married to her for 50 years. Amen. But spiritually, I put God first. That's the day I started putting God ahead of her. Amen. Now, most of you have heard that testimony, so I'm not going to say any more of it. But we on our own start making the changes in our lives. Hallelujah. See, it's not your spouse doing it for you. It's not your pastor doing it for you. It's you making the changes. Because it's you that becomes aware of God's presence in your life. That he walks with you daily. You just get an awareness of that. And you don't want to do anything that's not pleasing in his sight. Amen. See, King Hezekiah was aware of God's presence. And it was said that none lived like Hezekiah. None before him. And done after him. It says Hezekiah lived for God. And notice because he did live for God, God caused him to prosper. Which means that one of the true benefits of true revival is prospering in every area of your life. Not just financially, but prospering in joy. Prospering in anger management. Amen. True revival is about you and I coming into agreement with God's word and allowing his word to change our lives for the better. Can you say amen to that? Now, right here, I was going to go to 2 Kings chapter 23, and I think it's where it's at. The Holy Ghost changed directions on me, and I had a choice between staying in the Old Testament with a king named Hosea, I think his name was, or coming on into the New Testament, actually to the 21st century, and using a true revival testimony that we can relate to. Hallelujah. See, true revival, and I got permission for this, so. True revival touched a man named Ronnie Gamble. Ronnie, who was king of the Gamble tribe, one March morning, 3 years ago, Ronnie received revelation knowledge to the Word of God. And that revelation that he received instantly changed his life. It did not change his looks. It did not change his behavioral patterns immediately. Some of them had to be worked on. We all have those. So it wasn't a natural change. It was a spiritual change. See, when you're born again, your spirit man gets made new. You have to crucify your flesh. And that's for every one of us. But when you truly get born again and true revival touches your life, it changes you from the inside out. That's why our prayer, every service, is God, show me in your word what you would have me do and help me to change from the inside out. See, you're not going to get true revival from going somewhere and singing a song. If you want true revival in your life, keep your knees to the ground, keep your nose in God's word, and then when you read and get revelation of God's word, then do it. That's true revival. See, he didn't change instantly in the natural. He changed instantly in the spirit. See, true revival brings repentance, and repentance brings a new birth. By his own testimony, Ronnie was a man who knew about God, but never had a personal relationship with the living God. He was, by his own testimony, he had many of the symptoms found in someone living a life outside of the Word of God. And I'm not going to elaborate on those this morning because that's his testimony. But we all have those symptoms that we have to overcome when we truly have revival in our life, when we truly get born again and revival starts. So he had a lot of those symptoms. The important thing I want you to know this morning is with Ronnie's cooperation, God began to change all that. In other words, true revival had begun in Ronnie's life, and by his own testimony, Ronnie began tearing down the walls of separation between him and his heavenly Father. By his own testimony, Ronnie began to break the yoke of bondage on his life and began living in the freedom that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died to give him. And I could go on and on and on, and I could probably pick anyone in this room and go on and on about you. But the what I want to tell you this morning, that's his testimony, and you got a testimony. Point I want to make to you is that is how he did it. How did Ronnie do all that? The same way Hezekiah did. And I know this is probably going to be one of the shortest messages of my career. But I want you to look at this again in 2 Kings chapter number 18. You want to know what Ronnie did to get rid of, to change and have revival in his life? He did what Hezekiah did. 2 Kings 18, verse number 6. For he held fast to the Lord and did not depart from his following him, but he kept his commandments which the Lord God commanded Moses. And then it says in verse 7, the Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled. Look at this. Against the king of Assyria. That's the devil. We got to rebel against the devil, guys. We got to quit submitting to his ideas in our life. Well, I think you need to do this. Well, I think you need to do that. If it don't line up with God's word, guess what? It's not God. Amen. We have to rebel against the king of Assyria. And look at this. And did not serve him. True revival came to Ronnie's life, and it's still coming into Ronnie's life because of his choices. Because he chose and is choosing to hold fast to the Lord. He's choosing to follow God daily. He's choosing to keep God's word in the frontlets of his eyes and in his ears and in his heart. He's choosing that. He's making the right choices. He's choosing to rebel against the devil, and he's refusing to serve the ways in the ways of this world. That's what Ronnie did. That's what revival does in your life. It causes you to make right choices. Are you with me? In closing. Yes, sir. Well, I could just go on. Here comes a revival. And I could pick out anyone in this audience. Amen. I got revival sitting on the front row. Since y'all like me to preach, I'll just preach a little bit more. Thank you, Jake. Hallelujah. It's all his fault. Here's a couple that mom and dad was a preacher, but they still turned away from the Lord. And then they came to church. Not just this church, but God's church. The church God sent them to. See, God places those in the body that pleases him. God placed you here for you to hear this message this morning. God placed you here so that you could have revival in your life. But this couple here, Jason and Sarah, they had turned away from the Lord. They got back to the Lord. They let the Lord start working in their life. The word started working in their life. Jason especially, because I used to pick on him a lot. And at first when I'd go out to Jason's shop, and he would still let a few four-letter words come out of his mouth, and he would testify to me, and I hope he don't mind this. He said I could always use him. He would tell me of times that he would go next door to want to start witnessing to his neighbor, but then when he got over there, because the word wasn't strong enough in him yet, that his neighbor would drag him in to situations he didn't want to be in, that he regretted the next day. And I'm just basically talking about drinking. I ain't got nothing against drinking, But Jason would go over there, and Jason would testify to, he would go over there, and he's given this testimony to me before that he went over there, and he wasn't going to drink but maybe one beer. But then he fell into the trap of the devil. He didn't resist him like the word says here. Now, I'm talking about the old Jason. Jason does not drink now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jason went from that man to starting to teach his kids about the word of God. Jason went to be the man of God that God wants him to be, teaching his children about the word, being the spiritual leader. Now, of course, he's not perfect. None of us are. But being the spiritual leader of his home. Amen. That's revival. I can look on the second row. Scott came to this church, started hearing the word of God. God not only gave him revelation, which helped him get over one of the biggest losses in his life, which was his bride. But God gave him the strength to persevere. And he persevered. Then he got involved in the ministry. And then he found him a new bride. Now, yeah, this was a process. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's all because revival started on the inside of him. The guy sitting behind me waiting to play his guitar, he sat over there for 2 years, and this is his testimony, that he didn't even like what I was preaching. Amen. And didn't agree hardly with any of it. But God made a difference. God started touching his heart. God started tearing down the walls of separation. Now look at him. This is revival, guys. Amen. This is why I tell you, it's not running off to some camp meeting somewhere. It's not going to a different church or a different venue just because they got a lot of music going on and a lot of people jumping up and down. Because most of those folks, I have to tell you, when they leave that jumping up and down session, they're going to go home and face the same demons that they faced before they went. It has to happen on the inside of us. Revival starts with us. Amen. Revival makes you make wise choices in your life. In closing, this is my second closing. I gave you a few examples in here. I'm looking around. As I look around, I could give more. But let me say to each and every one of you, each and every person in here who has taken the time to open your heart to the Word of God, to the truth of God's Word, you've already experienced true revival. So you don't have to go nowhere. You can just sit right here. Amen. You've already experienced true revival. And that revival, my brothers and sisters, will continue in your life until the Lord catches us away. If you want it to. You got to choose to keep moving forward with God Almighty. Can I get an amen? Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a clap offering. You've had revival in your life. You ought to be praising the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, as I said earlier, the first mark of true revival is repentance. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there may be someone in here this morning or someone watching by live stream. It could even be someone who watches this podcast at a different day. But let me tell you something. There's no time in the Lord. It's all the same spirit every day. So if you listen to this podcast or you've heard something this morning that's pricked your heart and you need to repent, if you really want true revival in your life, and there's something that's holding you back that you need to repent of. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand and put it right back down. Hallelujah. God sees all those hands. Every one of us probably could have raised our hand. because we all have something we can work on. But if you did raise your hand, God's going to meet you right where you're at. And he's going to start this change. He's going to start a new revival. See, revival can start every day. Amen. Revival starts when you suck your first breath in the morning. Matter of fact, for some of us, it's working on us all night long. Hallelujah. So with every head raised and every eye open, here's what I want you to do. The Bible says the first thing you need to do is repent. I want everybody in this room, especially the ones that raised their hand, to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm going to start going the other way. Today is the first day of my salvation. It don't matter what happened yesterday. Today, I'm going to hold fast to your word. I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. I believe he died for my sin, and on the third day, he rose again. Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Show me in your word what will bring revival, and I'll do it. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. I want you to look around you real quick and just see the people that's not here and just hold them up in prayer that they get back from spring break safely. Amen. Let's close. Father God, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that you have given us your word to lead and to guide us in the things of life, Lord God. We thank you for this word of about revival, Lord God. And right now, we thank you that revival is starting fresh anew this morning. And we give you all in praise and all the glory for that in Jesus' name. And the last thing we want to say is God is a miracle-working God. If you need a miracle in your life, you are the next in line for your miracle in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.